say they are expanding ground operations in the hunt for Hamas targets in Gaza. CBS's Robert Berger is in Jerusalem.
I don't think this is the big ground assault that everyone's been talking about, but this is the first time the Army has actually announced in advance it's expanding its ground activity.
And correspondent David Martin is just reporting that two U.S. officials say it appears to be the start of something bigger. It comes as aerial bombardment continues. Correspondent Rami Innocencio is just back to Tel Aviv from Gaza.
We saw and heard explosions coming from Israeli warplanes flying overhead. We heard the drones flying over us, and we also heard artillery just in the hills beyond us, targeting the Gaza Strip, the northern Gaza Strip.
National Security Spokesman Admiral John Kirby has just said the U.S. would support a localized pause in the fighting if it would help get hostages out of Gaza and help humanitarian aid, including fuel, get in. The Pentagon says U.S. fighter jets have bombed targets in Syria after last week's attacks on U.S. bases in the region. CBS News military analyst Jeff McCausland.
About 19 attacks in all have been conducted against our bases in Syria and Iraq. Reports from the Pentagon are 21 soldiers have been injured in those attacks, many of them suffering from traumatic brain injury, but it does appear most, if not all, have been returned to duty.
On the ground, in a river, and from the air, law enforcement is hunting for the suspect in Maine's mass shootings. There have been few new developments, but officials say it's not because of a lack of effort.
Lewiston Police Chief David St. Pierre.
I want to assure all that a tremendous amount of law enforcement manpower, time, and effort is being utilized around the clock in every effort to apprehend the suspect as well as to safeguard this community.
And Michael Soschuk with Maine Public Safety says the investigation is meticulous and takes time.
We're going to be processing every square inch of these facilities, but every one of those rounds that got fired need to be investigated.
Stacy Lynn, CBS News.
President Biden has met with China's top diplomat. Could a meeting with China's leader be next?
In a statement, the White House said the president told Foreign Minister Wang Yi that the U.S. and China, quote, need to manage competition in the relationship responsibly and maintain open lines of communication. The two were expected to discuss plans for Mr. Biden and Xi Jinping to meet in San Francisco next month. China wants the U.S. to ease restrictions on technology exports, among other things. Christopher Cruz, CBS News, Washington.
The Dow is down 427. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Exergen thermometers are a top choice of medical professionals at highly ranked hospitals across the U.S. With kids back at school, keeping them healthy is important. Make Exergen Thermometer the chosen thermometer for your home or business to check for fever, where accuracy matters. When measuring temperature at home and at work, use an Exergen Thermometer to keep your family and colleagues safe. Available at Walmart and other participating retailers. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
O'Reilly Auto Parts' new Brake Best Select Pro brand raises the bar for the best aftermarket domestic brake pads and rotors available. For vehicle-specific friction formulations, Quiet-Tech noise-canceling shims, and stainless steel hardware, choose Brake Best Select Pro. Professional-grade brakes from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Wausau Police Department and the Marathon County Sheriff's Department are looking for Walter Lee Calloway Jr. He's wanted for two arrest warrants, as well as charges stemming from a more recent domestic violence incident. Anyone with information on his whereabouts is asked to call the Marathon County Sheriff's Office immediately. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Monday, October 30th. In Wood County, the McMillan Memorial Library Personnel Committee will meet at 4 p.m. in the McCourt Conference Room at the library. The Wisconsin Rapids Historic Preservation Commission will meet at 6 p.m. in the Council Chambers at City Hall. The Port Edwards Planning, Legislative Property, and Information Technology regular monthly meeting will be held at 5 p.m. at the Marshall Bueller Center. In Adams County, the City Planning Commission will meet at 5. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again.
And a defense that just...
Down he goes.
Won't...
Intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Saturday. It's a massive matchup in Madison against Ohio State. Our coverage begins at 4:30 on your home for Wisconsin football.
It's about effort. It's about intensity.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield on Wisconsin.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. 29 tonight, under mainly cloudy skies, northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Chance of snow showers tomorrow, 39. A dusting of snow tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 45.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this October 27th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 3:30 today, we're going to welcome in our friends, Nikki and Christy from the Wood County Health Department. Looking forward to talking with them. Right now, our great friend, Rhonda James, Nutrition Program Director with the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin, joins us. Hey, Rhonda, how you been?
Good morning. I'm great. I'm great getting over a little bit of a fall illness. So it was my reminder for why we should have flu vaccines and consider the COVID vaccine, depending on your situation.
It's a nice reminder of that, although I wish you didn't have the reminder. I do appreciate you noting that, and hope you're feeling better real soon here.
Thank you. Oh, I'm definitely on the mend.
Good. Rhonda, I know we had a handful of things we wanted to make sure we touched on today. Let's get right into it. Now, I wanted to start off with senior dining options and letting many out there know about that and an update on that.
You bet. We have some new and exciting information. We're serving senior dining meals at 11:30 Monday through Friday at Centralia Center. In Wisconsin Rapids, for anyone age 60 and older, suggested contribution is $4.75 a meal. And, $4.50 a meal. And we've been doing that for many, many years. Really well-attended and lovely facility. I think a lot of times we see people coming to have a nutritious meal and connecting with others that maybe they've never met. There's definitely some of that happening, new friendships. And friendships of people from the community that maybe they haven't seen in a while. So rekindling of friendships.
Yeah.
And sometimes, first time to come and join us for a meal, a lot of times folks like to bring a friend and plan that together.
Yeah.
As an outing.
Rhonda, you and I are going to talk a little bit more later about how important protein is for our older adults. That's certainly a noteworthy part of this. But you bring up a just as important part, I think, and the camaraderie, the community aspect of this, running into people maybe you haven't seen in a while. Maybe it's a standing date with you and your friends that you meet for this. Like, that's just as integral as the protein part.
Absolutely. Sometimes we hear people say, I come for the camaraderie. I come to connect and talk with others and get out of my four walls. And, oh, by the way, there's a meal that I can eat.
Right.
It's nutritious.
It's almost the second part of things, the meal itself, which is interesting. I think it's really cool, actually. And all the more reason why we encourage our vets, our seniors out there, to be part of this, to take in this event, especially if you haven't done so before. And I think give it a chance. Yeah, I think you could really end up having a new favorite day of the week, even.
Absolutely. We are there Monday through Friday at Centralia, and in a moment I want to talk about our other opportunity for a location. But some people, you know, come to the Lowell Center, which is right there in the same space, maybe on Tuesdays for a writing group or on Wednesdays for a physical activity group. And then they stay for lunch. And that's their only day that they come, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Some people come Monday through Friday.
And these meals, Rhonda, are great meals, too. I want to send a big thank you to all the staff there preparing these.
Thank you so much. We have an amazing team. It takes everyone to make it happen and to serve our customers. And we're thoughtful in planning the menu. Actually, that's my job.
Oh, nice.
To make sure that we're meeting the minimum requirements of each of the meals we serve, to have a balance of protein, which is so important for maintaining muscle. And I know a lot of people don't think about this, but, you know, protein also plays a role in immune system function. And so warding off, you know, those viruses and things that are out there. Protein does so many things for our bodies, and it's one of the nutrients that older adults do not have enough of in their diet.
Yeah. Senior dining options are available at the Centralia Center in the Wisconsin Rapids here Monday through Friday, and we even have another option. It looks like
we do. Earlier this month, we reopened our Nakusa Community Center dining site.
It
was open 2 days a week, way back before the pandemic, for quite a number of years.
Yeah.
And then the pandemic, as we all remember, closed things down. And just earlier this month of October, we reopened that dining location 2 days a week. On Mondays and Wednesdays, we're serving meals at noon.
Fantastic. That's maybe some of the best news any of us are going to hear today. That is really, really cool to hear, especially for the Nakusa area and the residents over there. But Rhonda, something like this doesn't just happen overnight. How did this come about? How did this happen that we were able to bring this back to Nakusa?
Well, lots of moving parts.
Sure. Really, and I'm sorry. I don't mean, you know, had to get into amazing details. I was looking for a way to mention volunteers and give a credit to the people out there. I apologize. That was an open question there.
That's okay. That's okay. The conversation really started from community interest. You know, folks who participated previously, others who have heard about it, they were asking, when is this going to happen? And so hiring a new employee was our biggest piece of the puzzle. And I would, if it's all right, just add a little plug that we are looking to hire someone for that work, actually. It's just 2 days a week. And we had a plan in place that changed unexpectedly. You know, volunteerism in the Nakusa community at our dining site. We definitely could use some people to consider helping out, even just one day a week, helping with serving the meals, cleaning up. It's always a fun time. I know that much.
You know, I would say especially a lot of seniors going into that senior year, it looks great on a college resume, you know, volunteering and being a part of events like that. To a lot of our residents out there, you know, that have an hour or two to free, we'll talk about this with Meals on Wheels as well, but this is another one of those opportunities that the ADRC gives you to put back into your community with not a huge time restrict and the amount of good feelings that you get from this. You're going to leave there maybe feeling better than some of the clients, some of the people actually having the meals. Like, that's how good you feel from volunteering with the ADRC.
Well, I would agree with that. Yes. And it's a meaningful thing. If you're looking for a little something once a week, twice a week, hour or two, you bring a smile to the faces of a lot of people.
Yeah.
And our volunteers are so meaningful to our customers. The interactions that they have are, they're really, I don't think they can be captured in words what that really means.
Yeah. You know, the ADRC does such vital work in this community, and it can't be done without the hands of volunteers and the help of them. So we always encourage you to volunteer at the ADRC. We'll talk more about that in a moment, but just wanted to throw that out there again. With the senior dining, what are the details of this again, Rhonda, if you don't mind? When can people take this in?
Sure. So in Nakusa, we're there serving a meal on Mondays and Wednesdays at noon, and at Centralia Center, Monday through Friday, we're serving lunch at 11:30. Mm-hmm. And what we ask of customers is to make a meal reservation by noon the business day before. And they simply need to call our office and let us know that they're going to be joining us for lunch. Mm-hmm. The phone number to make a reservation is 715-421-0014.
Thank you for that, Rhonda. Appreciate it. And you know, if you guys at the ADRC were a band, I would be guilty of every time I come to your concert just screaming out your hit songs to you or something like. Do Meals on Wheels. Let's talk about Meals on Wheels. I love talking about Meals on Wheels. I love this program. I love promoting it. And I love encouraging people to be a part of Meals on Wheels. Before we get into how they can do that, Rhonda, let's explain to people that may not know what Meals on Wheels is.
Great question. Meals on Wheels is a program that serves a hot, ready-to-eat meal to the home of an older adult. And when we say older adult, we mean 60 and older, who is also mostly homebound and not able to prepare meals very easily for themselves. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's someone who isn't getting out and about on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And isn't maybe easily able to get groceries and prepare meals. So this hot meal from Meals on Wheels delivered right to their door means the world. Mm. It's nutrition that they don't have to think about and put energy into making. Mm. And you know what? We talked about socialization at our senior dining meal sites. There's socialization happening with our Meals on Wheels deliveries. Mm. So, you know, every time a volunteer goes to the home of someone who gets a Meals on Wheels delivery, there's a little conversation, whether it's 5 seconds or 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's the connection oftentimes of that Meals on Wheels customer to the world, and it's the highlight of the day oftentimes.
Yeah. I've mentioned plenty of times talking with you guys that I took part in Meals on Wheels when I was in California. I had three different clients that I dropped meals off to, and it's some of the greatest work I'll ever do in my life. Not just volunteer work, period. It's some of the best I'll ever be a part of. The relationships I built with those people, I still remember them. I think of them often, and I even miss them in some ways, you know, and hoping that they're doing well. I still think about them from time to time, but what I would like to really focus on for a second is for people to put themselves in the shoes of these individuals for a moment. And the idea of that this could be any one of us at one point someday. And in some ways, if we're lucky, it's one of us that we're still around and able to be
Absolutely.
A part of these things. You know, if you do that and you put yourself in these shoes and you think about how lonely that can be, how isolating it can be. And the idea that, well, when the mailman shows up, maybe I could say hi to the mailman, like for a brief second or something like that. And then there's something mm-hmm. like this, a program that exists like this, where, yes, the meal is important. It may be the only hot meal they receive. That's vital to this mm-hmm. and an integral part of it. But you touched on it, the relationship that you build with the person, because you will. It's not I almost promise you that you will not just stop by, drop the meal off and leave. You're going to want to talk to these people. They're amazing individuals and they have a story to tell. And you'll get that story and you'll get to know them a little bit. And so you're not just checking in on them. And it's not just a wellness check and not just a good meal. You're making a friend. It's a friendship that you're creating, too. And that you can't put words to.
Absolutely, James. You have just described exactly what it's like.
Did I ruin your job? Did I take all your lines? And I
You know what? I am beyond thankful that you've had that experience and can share it from your heart with other people because that's what it feels like. You know, after one meal delivery to an individual, what that means to them. Mm-hmm. You feel it. You put it into words very nicely, but you can feel it.
Yeah.
Don't even need words.
Yeah.
It is one of the most incredible things someone can do to help support and care for others in their community. And one day we may be in those shoes too, where we are homebound and need that nutritious meal. And I'm hoping someone is able to bring a meal to my house. Yeah. If I'm in those shoes one day.
Yeah, same here. And well said. And when it comes, as much as Rhonda and I are talking this up and saying so much about it, all that being said, it doesn't take a lot of heavy lifting on your end. Volunteers, you guys work with people in their schedules. You will find a way to maybe even, if it's a meal that can be dropped off near your neighborhood, that kind of thing.
Absolutely. We look to meet volunteers with what they have to offer. So, you know, some volunteers deliver meals 5 days a week. That's quite amazing and absolutely not expected. We talk to each volunteer who says, I want to do this, or I think I want to do this. Tell me about it. And we talk about what their ability is in terms of schedule, what's going to work for our volunteer. And we purposefully have one or more delivery routes every day that is intended to be doable for someone who's working and can fit it in on their lunchtime. And maybe that's once a month. One of the things that we see being very successful and creating community within the Wisconsin Rapids community and all of the communities we serve is what we call adopt a route. And that could be a group of friends, that could be a group of coworkers, a club, a church group, who say, there are four of us. We all have the same desire in mind to serve our community through Meals on Wheels. Mm-hmm. We are going to help the ADRC deliver a Meals on Wheels route every Friday. And then what that really comes down to, once everybody has their application in and they've had a really simple training, they each only deliver meals once a month. So as a group, they take on the responsibility of one route for one day of the week.
It's a really smart way to do it.
For everyone, it is a smart way. And I see some beautiful friendships develop from that because they figure out the schedule among themselves and they have that commonality of getting out and doing the same thing, maybe not on the same day.
And if you're a business or a nonprofit or something like that listening out there, there's a great idea for you. Not only a wonderful PR move that everybody can use, but it's something where you're putting back into your community and you're doing it as a group, as a team, and even a work bonding kind of thing. I mean, there's a lot of different options with this being able to deliver Meals on Wheels for you and many people out there.
Absolutely.
Speaking with Rhonda James, Nutrition Program Director with our ADRC, and Rhonda, you and your team over there are amazing. I love talking with you guys, and you do such incredible work, and I always, any chance we have to say thank you and appreciate you guys want to take it, but as good as you are at your job, and as much as you guys cover, there's only so much that you guys can do. Volunteers are vital to these programs that we've been talking about and getting people to be a part of these. When it comes to, you've heard Rhonda and I mean, one of the main themes of us talking about this is how good the volunteers feel. We've spent time on the clients, and that's very vital, of course, the most important part of all this, but not to be taken lightly is how good it feels to volunteer in this area. And the reason we're talking about it so much is to encourage more of you to be a part of these things and to get that good feeling in your soul.
Absolutely. I think sometimes people are hesitant to commit, right?
Yeah.
What does this mean for me? And I would just offer this. If it's something that sparks your interest, reach out to us. and we can easily set you up with a trial. Like, I don't think that's really the right word. A ride along. I'm gonna call it that.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Experience. See what is this really like? And I promise you, most people are hooked after they do that.
Yeah.
And it just gives it a sense of the reality of what it is without the commitment, and you can decide. We are encouraging anyone who can consider giving an hour or two a week, a month, to give us a call. The reality of our nutrition program for seniors at the Aging and Disability Resource Center is that our funding is very, very challenged over this next budget year, and the year after that, we anticipate being even more challenging. We have had some ARPA dollars to get us through, and that's helped with the significant increases in food cost and all the other supplies and, you know, labor costs in the last few years that have increased. But those ARPA dollars are gone in this next budget year. And all the more reason we need to look to our community and ask people to strongly consider volunteering to support serving our customers to help us stretch every dollar we have in our budget.
Yeah, it's always been important. It's never been more important than right now and going forward, especially over the next year or two. Whenever you can participate, help out with things at the ADRC, supporting the work that they are doing over there, and certainly volunteering. It's not only integral to our community, but it's. I don't know if this is the right word, but I'm only speaking for myself here. I feel it's a responsibility. These individuals paved the way for us to be here in this day and age and doing what we're doing. Mm-hmm. The least we can do is help them live the rest of their lives in comfort and with some community, with some friendship, and a good meal. That's not asking anything. That's asking the bare minimum, and bare minimum we can do is at least help you guys accomplish that mission.
Thank you for that. You've said it very well. Very well.
I wanted to, if people do want to volunteer, Rhonda, what number can they call? How can they get in contact with you all?
Great question. For anything, volunteering and participating in the meals, they can call 715-421-0014, and we'd be glad to help you out.
We got about 4 minutes-ish left, Rhonda. I wouldn't mind if you don't mind talking a little protein for older adults and why that is so vital, for the older you get.
Absolutely. I think the reality as we get older, whether we want to talk about it or not, our bones, our body tissues aren't quite what they were 40, 50 years prior.
Tell me about
that.
It.
That changes. I'm feeling it a little bit.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah.
And the muscle being one of the biggest components of the body for balance and function needs to be maintained through protein in the diet. And probably one of the most actionable takeaways that I could offer for folks to consider is, not only knowing protein is very important to your diet, you can talk a little bit about where you get protein. What are all the places besides meat? Meat isn't the only place.
Mm-hmm.
But the really probably one of the biggest takeaways I hope people hear today is there is so much more value to your body to have protein regularly throughout the day, some protein at every meal. And if you can, at your snack time, if you have a snack. There's a lot of new evidence showing the value of that versus a large amount of protein once or maybe twice a day. So helping maintain muscle strength and let's face it, maybe independence. The more you're able to be mobile and maintain your balance and, be the best you can physically, the more independent you're going to feel and be.
It's also a nice reminder to those of us that are younger, but getting up there in age. And, you know, I'm 46, but I blink, and I, you know, if I'm lucky, I'll be in my 60s. That this stuff mm-hmm. happens pretty quick. It's not a bad reminder to those of us that, hey, you want to be, you know, free. You want to be able to be independent. You want to be able to move around a lot of these things as you get older. And now's the time to be putting in that work and taking better care of yourself. It's a nice reminder to me. I'll just speak for myself. It's definitely a reminder to me. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. and certainly to our seniors out there as well, it is never more important than the older you get to get these proteins in your body. We want you healthy. We want you moving around. I think of my papa. I mention him from time to time. He's my last grandparent. He's in Florida right now, and he is living his best life and enjoying his life in his late 90s, in big part because this man has always eaten well. He's one of the best eaters I've ever known, and he's always taking good care of getting those proteins in him, taking care of himself, and his mind, his body is sharper. He was bowling like a week ago, you know, I mean, he's still doing stuff and everything, so it goes so far. And understand that we're telling you this because we want you around. We care about you, and we want you to be able to take care of yourselves and be as independent as you wish to be.
Absolutely. And taking care of your body, no matter what your age, you can still be in your late 90s like your pop and making choices that are helping fuel your best body and your best function to maintain independence and be happy, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm, you know, thinking about different protein sources that people may not necessarily think about, you know. Certainly beef, chicken, you know, all different types of meat, fish, poultry, great sources of protein.
All good things. And hey, it's Friday. It's a fish fry Friday. I mean, get some fish in you. Get that. And Rhonda, we always appreciate the time. Thank you so much. Say hi to everybody over there for us. You guys have a great weekend, mm-hmm. and we'll talk again real soon.
You too. Thanks, James. Bye-bye.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. The Wisconsin Military Academy recently inducted a civilian employee to their WMA Hall of Fame. Julia Benish is the Operations Program Associate who manages the front desk at the National Guard Building on Fort McCoy.
Yes, I was very surprised, but very honored at the same time.
Julia's been serving the military in her civilian position for over 20 years.
As the soldiers are here, I'm trying to make their stay as pleasant here as they can so they can focus more on their training. And if they do get mobbed and have to go to war, then they remember what they did here instead of thinking about and worrying about things back at home.
Civilian employees working alongside our military make a difference for soldiers who train for many months away from home. Julia Benish is a shining example of these dedicated employees, and we thank them for supporting the defense of our nation. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. 29 tonight, under mainly cloudy skies, northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Chance of snow showers tomorrow, 39. A dusting of snow tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 45.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Here is a list of upcoming Halloween events throughout the central Wisconsin area. On Friday, October 27th, Halloween at the Y in Wisconsin Rapids from 5:30 to 8 p.m. On Saturday, October 28th, a kids' Halloween party in Rome from 12 to 3 p.m. at the Rome Town Center. Also on the 28th, Wisconsin Rapids Police Department haunted walkthrough from noon to 3 p.m. On the evening of the 28th, the Spirit Walk at Historic Point Boss from 6 to 8 p.m. On Sunday, October 29th, Trunk or Treat from 1:30 to 3:30 p.m. at St. Luke's Church in Wisconsin Rapids. Also on the 29th, Trunk or Treat at The Lure in the town of Rome from 3 to 5 p.m. On Monday, October 30th, the McMillan Memorial Library will be showing Disney's Hocus Pocus from 6 to 7:40 p.m. And on Tuesday, October 31st, Family Fun Trick or Treat at the McMillan Memorial Library in Wisconsin Rapids from 4 to 7:30 p.m. Here's wishing everyone a safe and happy Halloween.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this October 27th, 2023. Joining us right now are some of our favorite people from the Wood County Health Department. We want to welcome in Nikki and Christy. Good morning, you two, or should I say good afternoon, you two.
Good morning.
Hey, thanks. We got it all. We got it. Good morning. Good evening. Good night. We'll get them all in. You never know when people are listening. You know, these are podcasted. Who knows? Any chance we have to talk with our Wood County Health Department, we'd love to take that. Appreciate the time and always like to kick things off with thanking you and your staff and everything you do for our community, keeping us healthy and safe. We appreciate you. Let's go ahead and get to our main topic today, the Wood County Community Health Survey. Nikki, can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have our big community health survey. It's done every 3 years, and it's really the foundation for our community-based work. So we are trying to get as much input from the community as possible. The community health survey was created by the Wood County Health Department, Aspirus Riverview Hospital and Clinics, and the Marshfield Clinic Health System. So we all worked together to create that survey as a way to get the community's opinion about factors that are impacting health within the county.
Nikki, when it comes to these surveys, how much does this data help you and the team over there?
It helps us a ton. I mean, it really is the foundation for the work that we do moving forward. So all of our community-based work is determined from our community health assessment, which is done once every 3 to 5 years. We follow the hospital's cycle, which is every 3 years, so that we're not duplicating work. So the input that we get from this survey really helps us determine what are the top priorities rising up within the county. And that then tells us what we need to work on for the next 3 years, what issue areas, what focus areas we should focus our efforts in on to improve those areas within the community.
Yeah, you know, I think that most people are used to seeing surveys or getting a survey, or maybe you see it from this organization or maybe a nonprofit or something. And those are all great surveys. Encourage people to fill all those out. Then there's something like this where it is vital. It is so important for you to be able to fill out this survey, get them that data. All they're trying to do is keep us healthy. All they're trying to do is take care of our area, our city, our whole community here. The least we can do, and one of the best things we can do to help you guys do that, is give you data, is give you more information so you can make those decisions.
Yeah, absolutely. And we really want to hear from the community. You know, residents should have the strongest voice when it comes to decisions like this. We want you to tell us what we should be working on. There's a saying out there, those who are closest to the problem are closest to the solution. Mm-hmm. And it's really important for us to hear from the community what is going on within the different areas of the county? What are the things that are really impacting people's health? And, you know, this survey it is the primary way that we get feedback from the community to tell us what we should work on.
Yeah, Nikki, maybe it wouldn't be bad if we touched on and reminded people of the mission of the Wood County Health Department.
Yeah, so the mission of the health department is maximizing quality of life across the lifespan. So that goes, you know, all the way from pregnancy through to older adults.
All the above. That means everybody needs to fill out these surveys. I'm talking to you, six-year-olds. No, I'm kidding. but it is. It does remind me too that when it comes to these surveys, yes, it's important that we all do, and we need data from everybody, young, middle age, old, whatever you want to call it, whatever verbs you want to use. We need every type of different, you know, person in a different walk of life filling out these surveys, because everybody's going to be coming at you with a different health issue, or maybe not, but something that is going to be vital to the information.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's actually why we have the survey available in multiple methods. So we have a paper survey available in both English and Spanish. So we have copies of those at the health department location. The McMillan Library has some of those paper copies as well. The ADRC has some of those. And we also have online surveys. Those are also available in English and Spanish. And then we have community health workers who can assist people who need Hmong and Spanish translation, or just anybody who needs some help completing that survey.
If people want to fill that out right now, they hear us talking about it, it's on their mind, they want to do it, how can they do that?
So they can go online and they can type in bit.ly, so bit.ly/WOOD CHA. So it would read bit.ly/WOOD CHA. Or they can go to our website, healthypeoplewoodcounty.org, and there's a big green banner across the top of the website that'll tell you, click here to take the survey.
Yeah, that's a really easy way to do it, too. I tried this just to see how it would work and just typed into my search bar, Wood County Health Department survey, and that gets you around there, too, as well. So there's a couple of options you have to be able to find this. And we understand how hard it is to give websites over the air. Still got to figure that one out. Got to figure out how to do that right. But it isn't a hard find, and it's so important to be able to fill this out. Get the Wood County Health Department the information that they need going forward so they can keep us safe and keep us healthy. I know, Christy, we've had you there. We got to put you to work now. We've got to make you do some stuff here, Christy. I appreciate you joining us. And Christy, if you don't mind, I wanted to talk a little bit about health in general and our choices, regarding that.
Yeah, thanks, James. Well, you know, folks who end up taking the survey will realize that we're asking about a wide swath of things as it relates to health, because health is really determined by more than our choices and our access to care, which is oftentimes what folks think, right? They think about current health ailments, maybe, or conditions that they have, or the effect of whether or not they have access to healthcare, a hospital, a doctor. But we know, in fact, that 80% of what makes people healthy occurs outside of that doctor visit. Mm. So there's institutional and social inequities that systemically affect the health of our communities. And simply promoting healthy choices won't eliminate those inequities. Like the existence of safe housing, public transportation, education, good jobs with fair pay, access to healthy and affordable food, opportunities to be physically active all really impact significantly our health. Once folks hear that and they think about it, a lot of times you see this light bulb go on, like, well, of course, yeah, housing. If you don't have a safe place to sleep, a safe place to be with your family, that could definitely impact your health with the stress that you feel. And you're likely not thinking about how much physical activity you're getting in a day if you don't have a place to rest your head at night. So, our work is designed at the Health Department. Our work is designed to improve the social, economic, and environmental conditions that impact health. And we use an approach that is more of an equitable approach. And so, of course, due to the nature of this work, the changes in health outcomes aren't something that can be achieved quickly, because these are really large, systemic, multifaceted issues that take a long time to see the impact of our work in our communities.
Yeah, Christy, I can imagine, you know, even dealing with this a little bit myself sometimes. When we look at our bodies, we look at our health, most of us understand, and my papa used to tell me when I was little, you only get one temple, Jimmy, you got to take care of it. You can rebuy almost anything in life, you only get one body, you got to take care of it. I think most of us understand that, but as we get older and life gets busy and there's work, there's family, there's all these things going on, our health oftentimes takes a back seat, and by the time we get to it, it can seem quite overwhelming. I got high blood pressure. I got the bad back. I got this. I got that. What do you suggest to people to kind of break that down to kind of so to be able to attack this situation that can seem so daunting sometimes?
Well, the way that we approach it at the health department is really, like I said, to think about this from a much more institutional and social perspective, like looking at systemically, you know, if you mentioned, you know, the by the time, like, there's so many things, there's so many complex things, and by the time folks realize that it's affecting their health, it's almost too late. But if we set up our communities in a way that it isn't too late, because people have the ability to live their healthiest lives every single day, they have, you know, affordable and adequate housing, they don't have to worry about, you know, the meals that they're going to have, that they have enough money from the jobs that they work to pay their bills and to buy, you know, good food. It's really, the goal is, and prevention always, that we don't get there, right? That we don't get to the place where it's too late and we have to walk it back. So that's why it takes such a long time. It takes a lot of planning, a lot of dedication at the community level to ensure that, you know, our educational systems are good, that we have good transportation. I mean, isolation, social isolation is a huge deal, and the cost of a vehicle and the cost of all of those things add up for folks. So making sure that folks have access to get places where they need to go, to get to the grocery store, to get to places to be socially connected, all of those things are going to help us not have those ailments too early in life, or to not get sick with, you know, stress-related chronic conditions and things of that nature. So it's really walking it backwards, right? Like us looking at the whole picture from a more holistic perspective.
Yeah. You know, making the effort and the time for these things is vital. I get my workouts in during our interviews here. It's important to make the time for these things, for your body, for your mental health. It all adds up. And when it comes to the the environmental parts of this and housing and all these other factors, these are things that as you take care of them, they're one thing off the checklist. And you can focus on your body more. You can focus on these other things. It all adds up. We learn more and more, I feels like, every day how vital mental health is to our body health. And these kind of things all add up. They all tie together.
Absolutely. And, you know, these huge community, social and economic and environmental conditions that we're working on improving in our communities take all of us. It takes, you know, the health department, we are a convener of organizations. We help with planning. We help to get folks to think about improvements and changes that can be made. But really, it is only through a group of dedicated community partners and residents and organizations and all of us working together that we can, in fact, improve the health of our communities. Mm-hmm. So we have Healthy Peoplewood County is the community arm of the health department, and this is what our community health assessment and improvement plan all rolls through. And it is a partnership of, you know, residents, hospitals, nonprofits, businesses, public health officials, you know, community leaders, schools, and it's all of us aligning our energy to fight these complex health problems.
It's such a great group. I'm so glad we have a chance to talk about this too. It's everything that I think that we look for when it comes to answering our questions about our health and our community, along with also working with each other, because that's what this is. It's a table. It's not just somebody telling, you know, barking orders or anything. It's a groups of people from different walks and different organizations coming together and being able to share information and share what's vital to our community, what can help us best. I think we all understand at this point, if you didn't before the pandemic, you darn sure do now, we're stronger together. We're better together. And when we work together and we look out for each other, a group like this, the Healthy Peoplewood County, that's an organization doing just that.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And together we're working on making improvements. And those So that survey is what helps us determine what it is that we're going to work on, mm-hmm. what's really bubbling up to the top in our community, and that's what we work on. So, I mean, the ultimate goal is that our work is to create thriving communities where all people in Wood County have a fair opportunity to be as healthy as possible, regardless of their income, their age, their location, race, ethnicity, gender, or really any factor for that matter.
In this, a rising tide raises all boats. This kind of initiative, this kind of thing, it only benefits everybody in our community. And if you want to, you know, looking at this at many different levels, if to those that may not be paying attention or not care about this as much, I bet you care about economics. This adds to the economy of our community. If we have more healthy people, we have more people able to get to work from work. All these things, it all adds up. This all comes back to, you know, that being the best thing for our community. So there's nothing about this that doesn't hit on almost every factor and every important part of our community. This organization is pretty cool. How long has this been going? This happened, the Wisconsin State Statutes. I wanted to get into that a little bit with you. When did that start?
That's a great question. So we, you know, as a health department, Nikki shared that we work with our health systems. Both of us have mandates to do this work. And so local health departments have been doing community assessments and improvement planning since the early 1990s. 1993, actually, is when the statute became a statute and was on the books that requires communities throughout Wisconsin to develop and implement that local health plan to address health conditions impacting their residents. And that is what, you know, Nikki was talking about with this community health assessment, which is why we have to do it every, you know, I say have to, it is a good thing that we do it every 3 to 5 years. And just like local health departments, nonprofit hospitals also have a law that was signed in effect in 2010. That was a part of the Affordable Care Act and it actually goes through the IRS so that they are required to collaborate with their local health department and complete that community health assessment and an implementation strategy. So, you know, it makes sense for us to collaborate. We all only have so much capacity. And at the end of the day, we'd be asking our partners and our community residents the same questions. What are the issues that you're seeing? What should we be working on? How should we be resourcing our community in a way that we can make improvements? And so we have been working in collaboration even before 2010 with Aspirus and with Marshfield Clinic. However, I would say that those relationships have really strengthened with the passing of these laws, most notably the law in 2010. And that's really just strengthened our collaboration. You know, a lot of folks don't necessarily realize that that the hospitals have this work that they partner with local health departments on, but it is a big part of their mission as well. And in order to maintain their nonprofit status, they need to do this work. So we have some great partners in our health systems.
It was a while ago that it came into play, so I think it's a nice refresher to remind people about these things that came with the Patient Protection and the Affordable Care Act, and also there's some great, like, I don't want to say forced collaboration, but some intended and possibly forced collaboration with our hospitals and our health department. The sharing of information, people being on a similar if not the same page, that only helps our whole community.
It really does, James. You know, I think it's an old adage, but you know that we're all working a mile wide and an inch deep. And if we can be better aligned on priorities, we can work, you know, a mile deep and an inch wide and really make a difference versus just skimming off the top and trying to do so much of everything in our community and not being able to make a real, you know, notable difference. So it's, I would say, I guess, forced collaboration. However, it's welcomed by the organization,
right? Yes,
in a way that it really improves our work, the work that we do at the local level, because, you know, like you said, we're better together. Our partnerships are strong. None of this work can be done alone. And if it could be done alone, it wouldn't be an issue in our community. It would already be taken care of. You know, if we knew how to solve some of these huge societal issues, we wouldn't all be having to work together. Someone would have figured it out long ago, you know.
For sure. It'd have been nice. It'd have been nice of them to do that, whoever that person, you know, we'd like that. That'd be great. But until that happens, this is the way we do it. This is the way we make our community healthier and better. Not for nothing, you just don't know what's around the corner. My Nana would always say, you want to make God laugh, make plans. And the idea that we know necessarily in the next year, 2 years, the next virus, the next issue that could come up in our community, whether it's health related or not, nobody knows. So the better we're prepared for these things with this, you know, filling out this survey, keeping up to date on your rights and sharing your needs and your concerns with the health department and our hospitals, that's going to make us that much stronger. So, hey, knocking on wood, hoping nothing happens, nothing's going on, but nobody predicted a pandemic, and that happened. And we were very fortunate in this community. I'm not making light of what we lost, but it could have been a lot worse if we didn't have our health department, if we didn't have this kind of information going on, where we were very fortunate when it comes to that. Mm-hmm. Want to make sure to keep that going and keep filling out this survey and keep up to these things. Before we wrap up, I did want to ask Nikki, I did have a follow-up question about the survey. Because I know our listeners, and I know this one will come up from time to time, too. When we're filling out this survey, how long does it take usually? What would you say the average time it takes to fill that out, Nikki?
I would say about 10 minutes.
Okay. All right. It's not a big...
And actually... Sorry.
No, I was just going to say not a big time requirement.
That too, there's the survey is open until the end of November, I wanted to share. And as a thank you for filling out the survey, you do have the option to enter into a drawing for one of three $50 Visa gift cards. You'll fill out a separate form for that, so it's in no way tied to your answers. So the survey is completely anonymous, but you are able to enter into that drawing, and we will draw for those three gift cards in December and then contact winners.
Nice. Oh, that's very cool. I like that incentive. We are speaking with Nikki and Christy from the Wood County Health Department. And Christy, I wanted to get to the Drug Take Back Day and touch on that a little bit as we're wrapping up.
Yeah, thanks, James. So tomorrow, October 28th, is the Take Back Day across the state of Wisconsin, the Drug Take Back Day. Just to give folks a little bit of background to that, you know, people are prescribing medications all the time, and oftentimes they end up having unused or expired medications in their home and aren't sure really of what to do with them. We really, you know, it's all too often that these unused and expired medications find their way into the wrong hands, or they're, you know, put into the water system, flushed down the toilet, all of those things. That's really not what should be happening. And we definitely don't want them getting into the wrong hands. It can be dangerous. It can be really tragic for folks where those unintentional consequences. So it's important to bring unused and expired medications to a drug take-back collection site, and this is a great way to protect you and your family and your community.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is super easy to do. You stop by a collection site and drop your items into a bin. I'll tell you details about the collection sites, but there's no questions asked. You can be in and out in minutes. It's really just a super simple thing. Often there'll be a law enforcement officer at the take back site, as well as, a volunteer helping. And so the different things that you can bring include prescription and over-the-counter medications that they may be disposed, including capsules, creams, inhalers, non-aerosol sprays, ointments, patches, pills, vials. So it's just important that folks know. We also accept there also will be accepted vape pens with the batteries removed, and other e-cigarette devices are accepted with the batteries removed. So there are take-back days in all of the, six of our communities: Marshfield, Nakusa, Port Edwards, Pittsville, the Town of Rome Police Department, and then Wisconsin Rapids Pick and Save. So there is information on our website and our Facebook page about this, but it's just most of the locations run between 9 and noon, or 10 and 2, 11 and 1. So look for your corresponding community, the corresponding community that you're interested in, or you can call our office too if you have more questions about that.
Also would recommend if you look at dhs.wisconsin.gov, dhs.wisconsin.gov. They have a great section on here where you can actually look at, find a collection site near you and just type in your zip code or your city or your county, and it pops up for you right there. That's another great way of doing this. And doing this certainly keeps it not only out of the hands of people that, you know, we don't want them having them, certainly keeps it out of our landfills, our planet. That is important. And it's one of those things, too, where it gets it out of the house, too. Like, there's I know a couple of people that have, like, just a bag full of these things, and they don't know what to do with them. They're just sitting there collecting dust. It gets it out of the house, too. It's not a very big positive of it. I appreciate you guys spending some time with us and everything you shared with us today. One more time, Nikki, if people need to know where to go to fill out that survey, can we tell them where to go?
The easiest way would be to go to healthypeoplewoodcounty.org, and right across the top of that website, there's a big green banner that you can click on, and it'll take you to that survey.
And you can find out more by following the Wood County Health Department on their Facebook and Instagram pages. Find out more about Healthy People Wood County in the same places, Facebook, Instagram, and go to their website, healthypeoplewoodcounty.org. Nikki, Christy, please say hi to everybody over there for us. You guys have a safe, fun weekend.
Thank you so much. You too, James.
Thanks for the time.
Thank you.
And a big thank you to Pam Hilke and the amazing scheduling and work she does week in and week out. We appreciate you, Pam. We'll have more Midday Magazine for you next week right here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
CBS News Special Report. U.S. officials say Israel's increased ground activity in Gaza is just a start. Here's David Martin.
In military operations.